Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Mental health in the Black community is so stigmatized. People are more afraid of being labeled crazy than actually living with a mental illness. Like, it's so ironic that people will read every single self-help book there is instead of just going to therapy. Mental health is real, people, and we all have problems. So why not be the best version of you? And if that includes therapy, what's the worst that could happen? Hey everyone, it's therapist KP, aka Kiwasha Naomi, and this is another episode of Mental Unwind. I want to thank you all for joining me on this episode. I have another special guest, as always. All my guests are special, but this is Miss Kristen. How are you doing today?
Today I am phenomenal.
Okay. Ooh, she's throwing out these words. Yes, I am loving that. So I'm going to give Kristen an opportunity to introduce herself. And, you know, she's kind of doing big things in her life. So I'm going to give her opportunity to, you know, do a public spiel real quick.
Oh, that's where we started. That's how we're doing this.
That's how we're doing this. Go ahead.
I am officially Kristen Denise Hemingway. I write. I work with children. I consider myself a self-care guru.
Ooh.
And I am just making it through life one day at a time like everybody else.
That is so true. And I want to thank you for coming and, you know, sharing your story. As you all know that I have suffered from depression. I'm pretty open. I'm pretty a big proponent of taking care of yourself and being open with your story about your struggles with depression so that you can get help. Not one, so that you can get help, and two, so that you can know that there's a community, very large community.
Significant.
Exactly. Community out there. Statistically, at least one, I think it's two in every five people will suffer from depression at some point in time in their life. It may not be a major episode, but you will have a depressive episode because, you know, life kind of sucks at times, to be honest. And so we are going to try to navigate through that. And we're going to hear Kristen's story and how she kind of navigated through that. So I know that.
And it's still presently navigating.
That
right?
This is true.
It's a current process. Not
this
just
is
past,
true.
It's present.
Very
present.
True. Very, very true. So you are here to talk about your depression and your anxiety in particular. So can you kind of go back to when you were first diagnosed?
Sure. I was first diagnosed probably at about 21, 22.
Okay.
I don't know if I took it really seriously, though, then.
Mm.
Right? Because I was like, girl, I'm Black. I don't deal with that.
That is a thing.
Right?
That's a real thing.
Girl.
What you talking about, Willis?
Right? It's just a little suicidal ideation. That ain't no big deal. Everybody deal with that sometimes. It's like, nah, fam. That's not normal.
Exactly.
It's okay to get help. And that was actually my first stint with therapy, was during that time. I had dealt with a lot personally.
Okay. So at 21, that was at college?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was during college. I had just been in a very unhealthy relationship. Mm-hmm. I went through a phase of not being able to get out of bed, which affected me going to class.
Yeah.
Then I lost my scholarship.
Ooh.
Right. Dealt with just tension in my relationship with my mom. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a lot of stuff. And I would, my friends used to say, like, I would just fall off the map. Now, contrary to popular belief, people think I'm an extrovert. I'm actually not an extrovert.
I feel you. People think I'm an extrovert, right? And I'm not. I'm actually a very strong introvert.
Listen, sis. Give me my home by myself.
I get it.
But I would always be out and doing stuff, and it wasn't necessarily because I really liked people. It was because I was scared to be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was super counterproductive. But it's what I did, and I would go through phases where I just couldn't do it. And I would just do the bare minimum of what I needed to do to survive. And at the time, I was going to work, right? Because sis got to eat.
Yes.
Because hunger is a real thing.
It's a good motivator.
And I would pretty much go to work and go home. Go to work and go home. And people who at one point had seen me maybe every day or every other day, you could go a month or longer and not see or hear from me at all.
So you weren't making calls or anything like that. So you were in college. So what about school? Were you going to classes?
I stopped. That wasn't necessary for me to survive.
Oh, very interesting. I mean, interesting in that was your story, but it's actually very common. Okay. So food, work, work so you can get food, and home. That was it.
That was my little circle.
You're right. You're right. So what was it like? So a lot of people don't realize. So a marker for a lot of people who have depression is a lack of self-care, right? So she was caring for herself as it relates to food. Granted, we don't know what type of food she was eating, but I'm just going to assume.
No judgments. I still ate McDonald's at the time.
Exactly. I'm going to assume that we're in college, so she wasn't making that much money, so she wasn't eating the best, but she was eating. Now, another marker is of self-care is simple things, or we think it's simple, of brushing your teeth every morning, making your bed, taking a shower. You know, sometimes as a therapist, when you're treating someone with depression, that's a win. That's a win. And, you know, it might not seem like a big thing, but in all, it's like they haven't taken a shower in 2 weeks, and this morning they got up and they washed their face, and it's just like, cool.
Score. Cool. One on the board.
Let's take this. You know, a lot of people don't recognize that. But was that an issue for you? Or you don't remember?
No, I think to an extent. I mean, I wasn't gone 2 weeks just because that's not me. But there were days of just like convincing yourself to do the basic things. I know something I didn't do, which is funny because this would drive my mother up a wall. I wouldn't iron. Right? Because it was just an extra step. I was like, are there clothes on my body? We've won.
That's my mama would say you walking around like crushed cotton. That's what she would say.
I like your mama.
She would say that.
And then, granted, I don't really like ironing. When I'm in a good place, I care about how I look.
Yeah.
Right? So I might pick the outfit that doesn't need to be ironed. Yeah. Versus just being
a lot of those.
You get what you get. This is all I have to give.
Okay.
And so I did go through some of that. I would eat enough not to be hungry. I wouldn't necessarily eat like you should.
Absolutely.
So that was a thing for me. That's a thing for me now.
So you might be eating, but it's not nutritional.
It's not nutritional.
It's enough to not let you die, but it's not nutritional.
And it's not necessarily even a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, literally, like, oh, no, I'm feeling hunger pains. You should probably do something about that.
Oh, yeah. That I completely remember that, you know. I think most people have heard me say, during my depression, I lost 65 pounds in about 2.5 months.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I wasn't eating. You know, and I wasn't hungry. That's the thing. I wasn't hungry.
Wasn't hungry, but hunger pains are biological.
Yes, exactly. So I wasn't hungry. It would have to get to the point where it's just like, oh, hunger pain. And then because I had been essentially starving myself, you know, subconsciously starving myself, I could only eat so much. So I would literally eat like 2 crackers and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling full. When in all honesty, it's like my body was like, we're not full.
Help.
It's like, we're not full. That was something. Okay, so this was in college for you at 21. And even when you said you also mentioned suicidal ideations. Mm-hmm. So for people who don't know, suicidal ideations are different from plans or intents or an attempt. So an ideation is basically just a thought. I had a thought about, you know, killing myself. Right. That was a thought. Or sometimes we as therapists, we call it passive suicidal ideation. And a passive suicidal ideation is basically when someone says, I just want to not be here.
Yep.
So it's not I'm going to go out and actually harm myself or kill myself. It's just if I woke up and I was dead, I'd be OK with this. Yeah. You know, and I don't know, that's an oxymoron, waking up dead. But it's a saying and y'all know what I mean.
Correct.
But, you know, that's what a passive suicidal ideation is. But that's serious. It's still serious. Anytime the thought of hurting yourself or the thought of not being alive comes into play, it's serious. Your depression is very, very serious and it shouldn't be taken lightly. So what was going on with you? Were you having ideations, passive ideations, attempts?
No attempts.
At that time?
No attempts. Okay. I have to think about it. Like, no attempts. But definitely passive ideations. They tried to Baker act me.
Okay. And where were you?
Fam. I was in college.
Oh, Florida. I was like, Baker act is Florida. I was just like, okay.
So living in the, and it is my smart mouth that got me out of it, surprisingly enough. Mm-hmm. Right.
You needed a therapist like me. You weren't getting out of that, but continue.
Well, so it was the school counseling.
Okay.
Right. And so they had sent the police to my home. They made me go to the counseling center at the school. I went. They were like, well, how would you feel about checking yourself in? I said, I would feel like I don't want to do that.
Yes.
That's how I would feel.
Okay.
And then they were like, well, we think it's a good idea. I said, that's fine. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to do like good cop, bad cop. And so it was like, do you know what the Baker Act is? I don't. And so he explained, he's like, we can commit you and we this and you don't even have a say so, da 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 da. And I said, that's fine. I said, well, let me help you out. Right. I said, I already feel a sense of like a loss of control. Right. So if you forcibly make me check in somewhere, you are literally taking the little bit of control that I do have away from
you're
me.
Good.
Right. And I said, and this is the thing. There is nothing to stop me from walking in front of a truck when I walk out of whatever facility, because at some point you got to let me go. And baby, I'm smart enough to get out. So do you want to play this game with me?
Mm.
And so, I don't recommend that, right?
No, we don't recommend that, but it's I'm glad truth. That you are telling this, because that is something that as therapists we have to deal with. You know, we have to deal with the whole idea of what our clients are saying to us and how they're acting, or, you know, we have to weigh the pros and the cons. We don't really have the Baker Act, quote unquote, in Georgia. What we have is called a 1013. And a 1013 is basically an involuntary hold, a 72-hour involuntary hold at a mental health unit. We want you to go voluntarily. So, you know, say Kristen was my client. So I would ask her, hey, you want to get in the car with me? Let's go to the hospital. You know, let's do this. And if she says no, at that point in time, if I feel that the threat to herself was large enough, I would have to call the police, right? Now, for most of you, if you didn't know, Kristen is Black. If Kristen, as her therapist, if she says something to me like, I'm gonna fight the police when they get here, in the climate that we're in, they'll shoot her. So I have to weigh that, okay? If I call the police and she really does try to fight them, are the police more of a danger to my client than she is to herself? Or is there a way for me to talk her down enough so that the police can get her? Or can I warn the police? I'm saying all of this really slow, but this is literally split-second decision.
You got seconds.
That you have to make when you're seeing a client in that situation. If the thought is crossing my mind or the mental health professional's mind to put you in an involuntary hold, it's because we really believe that you will harm yourself. And though Kristen a while ago was able to talk her way out of it, I would have still Baker acted her, to be honest. Because the thing is, she really needed it. The fact that she even said something like that would be further proof. Would be further proof that she needed, you know, to be admitted. The fact that you're, okay, so you're making threat. So I'm trying to get you help so you don't kill yourself. And you're threatening to kill yourself so you don't go with, that's just real.
That's a lot.
Counterproductive. But I understand where the mental health professionals were going.
They didn't expect that.
They didn't. I'm sure they didn't. I went
from like uncontrollable crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just very frustrated and everything that was, yeah, I was dealing with in the situation that I was in, to saying, listen, do it if you want to.
This logicalness. And that's a scary thing. When like, you see them become logical, you're like, okay, they really might do this.
Like, do this if you want to. But if this happens after the fact, one, there's nothing you can do to stop it. And two, maybe you caused it at this point, is what I'm telling you. And nobody needs that on their books. Nobody wants that on their mind.
We don't want that.
And so we came up with some alternative plans. I still had to do like some check-ins and stuff. But I didn't go to the mental health facility.
So I'm curious to know at that point in time what you said after definitely was grounds for them to Baker Act you. But what were you saying or doing beforehand? I just want to give, you know, the audience an idea of, you know, I'm kind of having a torn decision. Like, do I let them know what you were doing so they know not to do it? Or do I let them know so that, you know, they can recognize the signs of like, okay, this is what's going on.
I was just really sad, right? I was just really sad. I'm a process person. I am I'm solution oriented.
Okay.
And I couldn't figure out a process or a solution for all of the things I was dealing with.
Exactly.
Right. And so it just made me very, very sad. I felt completely out of control. It was probably the first time I'd ever felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know what to do with it.
Okay.
Which ended with, it could be better if I just wasn't here. Because then none of this matters.
Yeah.
None of this matters if
so
you're
you
not
never
present.
Had a plan.
No, I never had a plan.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm a planner. So
okay.
If as a planner, I never had a plan.
So you didn't have a plan. Did you ever try to self-harm? Because sometimes people don't necessarily have a plan, but they'll do things. This is not something that any of you should do. But sometimes people will do things like they'll like put a knife to their wrist just to feel the pressure.
I'm not trying to be funny, but this might sound funny. I'm clumsy, right? So I can't play.
Yeah.
I can't play around. I have cut myself by mistake while cooking type. So if that's not something I actively want to do, I'm not.
So that's good to know.
That's not something I'm going to do. Like, I'm a committed person.
So once you made the decision,
so once I make a decision, I will commit to the decision.
Okay.
I never made a decision to die.
Okay. And that's good. That is a very important factor. And so all of this is happening while you're in college, right? And you did, even with all of this, you still, even with the thought and all of these different things, you still didn't take it seriously when they were like, you have depression.
I was like, it's just a rough moment.
Okay.
And it's because you don't grow up exposed to the language.
Which is true.
Right? Depression is for crazy people. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy. I'm just sad right now.
Yeah.
You're still not crazy, but you are dealing with depression.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And thank you. Thank you.
You're still not crazy, but you are dealing with depression. I'm not crazy right now. I am still dealing with depression. I still have a diagnosis of major depressive disorder. And I'm far from crazy. But it's the reality of that is a challenge that I deal with. You're not crazy because you got diagnosed with diabetes.
Yeah.
You're not crazy if you get diagnosed with high blood pressure, with multiple sclerosis, with any number of things. You're not crazy. You're dealing with an health issue, a health challenge. A challenge can be faced. Let's face the challenge so we can be healthier.
Okay.
But that has taken time and growth and study for myself because there was no one around me who could give that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I have it, I shout it from the rooftops because I want people to be well. But if you don't know anybody.
True.
Right.
Lack of access is a really big thing.
If you don't know anybody who's helping you through this, it can be very challenging because you will think this is for crazy people. I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is for people who are always sad. I'm not always sad. Listen, joy and sadness can live together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always sad either. I have major depressive disorder right now. I had the time of my life this weekend.
I smiled
and I laughed and I feel phenomenal today. That doesn't mean it might not be really hard to get out of bed on Wednesday.
Just true.
They can coexist. And we, I think because there is a lack of information and knowledge and exposure, we feel like they can't coexist.
Exactly.
Right. And so my frame of reference I give people is the movie Inside Out. Even if you don't have children, watch Inside Out. And there's a scene in Inside Out, just a little background. There's a girl and we're inside her head and dealing with her emotions. All of her emotions are personified as people.
Mm-hmm.
And she has all these memories that are just really important to her. And everybody's trying to keep sadness away from the memories because they don't want this sad tint to these major life experiences. And if sadness touches anything, it just like ruins it. And they're like, sis, stay over there.
Yeah.
Don't touch anything. And there's a part in the movie where joy and sadness touch a memory together. Because joy and sadness can coexist.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this beautiful marble instead of this just solid color ball kind of thing. And I'm like, I need more people to see this, adults in particular, because you're acting as if you have one, you can't have the other.
Exactly.
Just because I'm sad, just because I'm dealing with major issues on whatever level I may be dealing with them on, it does not mean that joy cannot visit here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm very big on reminding people that joy and sadness can sit together.
Mm-hmm. And the reverse, and which is the reverse is actually what causes people to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that so-and-so committed suicide, because you're only seeing the joy and you don't recognize that there's sadness living there as well.
Yep.
And it's not your fault. A lot of times people hide that stuff.
Well, we don't, society can't handle, like,
yeah.
We're in the social media, like yeah. The perfect picture. And so, based on when this will come out, this will probably have happened by then. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
You all can fact check me. I'm going to do a post of I just posted a picture. I went to an event. I was fly. Cute. Happy.
Girl,
as
you
fly
be. Now. Come on.
Thank you, boo. Thank you. but this was like really planned and intentional fly. Like this was extra effort, right? And I'm going to post the picture with the title that this is what depression looks like.
Yeah.
Because both are true.
Which is true.
Right? I don't want you to get caught up because people are smiling or laughing or going to events or posting pictures that they are not dealing with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the case. I am very much so living in my purpose. I am living my best life. I ain't going back and forth with you people. Right? At the same time, I am still facing this challenge with my mental health, and I still have to do the work over there to make sure it's okay. And one does not negate the other.
That part, the
doing
the work.
I am living my best life. And one of the reasons I have access to it is because I'm willing to do the work.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Do you hear that? Say that again for the people in the back.
I'm living my best life. I'm not going back and forth with you people. And one of the reasons why is because I'm too focused on doing my work to have time to go back and forth with you
people.
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
You will not deny me wellness for any reason. You will not deny me wellness for the sake of your idea of what spirituality is, for your sake of what it means to be a strong Black woman. For any of these ideas you hold, you won't deny me wellness in the process. That's not your right. I don't give you that kind of power in my life. So I'm still a strong Black woman, right? I am still a fully faithful and committed believer, right, of Jesus Christ. I still actively serve in my church. I still teach on first Sundays. Right? And in my teachings, I tell them about what it means to have depression and why you need to have a good circle around you for when you are depressed.
That's good.
Because you will face hard days. Living life gets hard sometimes. That's my phrase that I use. Because it does. And life comes at you fast.
Absolutely.
Hello, that is not just a Snickers commercial. Life comes at you fast. And if you have not prepared yourself for when that happens, you will find yourself broken and alone and not knowing what to do. And because I know how dark my darkness can be, I just choose not to go there. So I'm going to do the work to stay in the light. Even if I got to stay in the light with my eyes closed because it's shining a little too bright right now, I'm going to stay in it so I can still feel the warmth of the sun.
Come on, Minister Kristen. Well, okay, so I just want to that I don't even know where to go from here.
Had a moment.
You know, I see that y'all can't see her, but I'm seeing that there's a lot and I felt it. You can't see me, but I was just like, "All right, yes. Yes to all, yes, absolutely." At what point did you take it seriously?
I actually don't know if I took it seriously at all during that time, honestly.
No, I mean, throughout, from then, from 21 until now, at what point did you say, you know what?
Last year.
Really? What happened?
Yo, 2017 tried to take me out in every which way it could.
Oh.
On every, professionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, 2017 was a year of life comes at you really fast. Right?
Like, yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. And so I talked earlier about being an introvert. So, I'm actually an ambivert. I can get it either way. I just got to be paying attention. And I just had a lot of activity one week. And I was like, okay, I need some time. So silence and darkness is healthy for me. It's healing. It's
absolutely
restorative.
I feel that.
Right? For about 3 days. Day four, it starts going in a different direction. And I made it to day five. And I said, so this stopped being healthy about a smooth 2 days ago. So we've got to do something different. And I called a therapist and made an appointment.
That's great. So was 2017 when you started seeing a therapist regularly?
Mm-hmm.
So between 21 and 2017 is when you weren't seeing a therapist. If you can look back now, knowing what you know, were there moments of depression that you can say, yep, that's what was going
Hell
on?
Hell yeah. Like, ain't no point in lying. Absolutely. I can. 2008, I kid you not when I say this, it's going to sound extreme. And if you know me, I have a flair for the dramatic, but this is very true. 2008, I cried 300 of the 365 days of that year. I kid you not.
Wow.
I mean, I just couldn't even control it. I cried almost every day of 2008.
And what stopped you at that point from saying, this is serious?
Oh, I know it was serious. I just couldn't afford therapy.
You couldn't afford therapy. All right. So I'm going to.
At the time. That's what I thought.
All right. So I'm going to step into my therapist role here. When people say they can't afford therapy, you would be surprised. Therapy is really, don't get me wrong, it's an expense. There's absolutely, it is definitely an expense. And if you, you know, aren't good at budgeting, it might be an expense that is outside of your budget. I completely understand that. However, it's not as expensive as people think it is. So one of the few things that I always like to bring up is that your insurance, and I know people have issues with their going through their insurance because they're afraid.
Well, I didn't have insurance at the time.
Yeah. So right. Some people, you can go through insurance, right? So insurance usually allows people to either see a therapist for free for the first 4 visits, and then you have to pay a copay, and your copay is usually that of a specialist or lower. Or sometimes they allow you to get 4 free sessions per issue. Right? So they're saying if you got the really, really good insurance, you're allowed to see them for 4 free sessions per issue. So it really kind of depends. So that's insurance. You didn't have insurance then. The other thing is a lot of therapists, especially master's level therapists, I know everybody wants to have a psychologist, you know, doctor's level, but in all honesty, and they're great. I'm not taking away from the psychologist. I want to be one day. Just give me a couple years. However, master's level therapists, they usually do something called a sliding scale, right? And it factors in your budget. So sometimes it depends on where it's specifically designed for lower income people to be able to get therapy. Another thing is with regards to insurance, some people who have Medicaid, they get it. It's there. It's there for them. So it's really, you know, do
the work.
That's the thing. It just takes time and it takes effort to really look into that stuff. And I know that it can be overwhelming, but trust me, if you email me, I promise you, I will help you find a therapist. I kid you not. This is not just, you know, this is not even a pub or anything like that. You know, I promise you, if you reach out to me and say, hey, I need a therapist, can you help me? I will. I will find you one within your budget where you live as best I can. You know, we will go through it. And if you don't like the one that we found first, I'll find you another one if that's the case. So yes, you were right. You know, you couldn't afford it back then. But there's also a thing called group therapy. A lot of people don't like group therapy, but group therapy tends to be really, really cheap.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger. There's that. But a therapist is a stranger too.
It's one versus several.
This is true.
It's but for me.
For a lot of people, it's like that. But with group therapy, sometimes it can be really beneficial with people who are dealing with depression simply because there is comfort and community.
Absolutely.
And so knowing, you know, I've seen people in groups and I've heard about people, you know, going to groups, friends of mine who've gone to groups and they're just like, you know, I didn't say anything for the first 3 sessions. And then I'm hearing these people and I'm just like, oh, that's me. That's so me.
It's the affirmation that you're not crazy.
Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh, this is normal. It's like, well, it's normal kinda. For y'all. Not really everybody. that's kind of what it is. But you're not alone. Exactly. You're not alone. There's other people, a lot of other people that are going through this. And so group therapy is cheap. And so, like I said, like she said, you know, there's the fear of stranger danger and everything, but you don't have to talk the first couple of sessions. And usually you talk when you're comfortable, and people get comfortable a lot faster than they think. Facts. Because of, oh, they get me. These people understand what I'm going through.
You did that too?
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, how you do it when you do it? Like,
and it's one of those things that, you know, people have these conversations and they build bonds outside of the group and things like that. But it happens. It really happens. And group therapy is significantly cheaper than individual therapy. Significantly. Facts. So that's just my little spiel on paying for therapy. If you need help finding it out, hit me up. Okay, you felt like, oh, I couldn't pay for it. And then, so 2017 was the year you're like, look, I got insurance.
No, not 2017. Oh.
2017. You were
2017,
like,
I had it, right. I already had insurance.
I have insurance. I'm having these issues. I'm a do this. And ever since then, you've been seeing a therapist.
Every 2 weeks.
Oh, all right.
Every
2 weeks. I've
had an attitude because we've had to go like 3 weeks a time or two just because of scheduling conflicts. Bitter.
That's so funny. It's so fun. Okay, so this is me. I'm stepping out of therapist mode, but I'm still in therapist mode for a second. Our clients don't like when we take vacations because we don't get to have lives.
Take your vacation, just not when my appointment needs
That's
to be.
Literally what all of them say. This is literally a thing. And you're just like, I need a break.
Which I get.
I need a break. I hear a lot. You'd be surprised. I hear a lot.
I wouldn't be surprised because I hear a lot.
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't be surprised because of the roles I'm in. I see a lot. I experience a lot. I hear a lot. So I get needing a break. And I want you to take it, just not on my week.
But yeah, so you have those things going on. But I'm curious to know, and we're about to run out over time. You know, you're such a great guest. Is there anything that you want to share in particular with regards to your struggle? Any regrets, any hopes for the future that you want to say, like, you know what, I'm sorry I did this, or I don't even want to talk about that, or I'm glad that I did this, you know, in going forward, what you're planning on doing?
I don't believe in regrets, right? Okay. It doesn't change anything, and it can cause other emotions that are counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened. We can't go back and fix what happened. We can make a new today. And that's my focus. And so while I should have been going for all of those 16 years between 21 and 37, I should have been on someone's couch somewhere. And I was not. On November 1st, 2017, I said, today is a new day. And on this day, I prioritized my mental wellness above all else. And I did. And because of that, even while I am still experiencing depression and my diagnosis was changed and it is major depressive disorder, that's just my cycle, right? That's just what I'm mm-hmm. dealing with. But I'm in a position to still have joy.
Yes.
I'm in a position to still have fun, to still invest in my friends, to still create beautiful memories and live a life that I don't have to run from. I'm excited because wellness is still mine to choose today. Regardless of what I chose for 16 years. Side eye, Kristen. But wellness is mine to choose today. And so I choose it. And I don't just choose it when I go to the therapist. I choose it when I give myself the extra 30 minutes to get out of bed. Because I've learned in my process that while getting out of bed is the challenge, once I'm up, I can make it through the day.
Mm-hmm.
So some days, it's taking me, maybe one day last week, it took me 3 hours to get out of bed. Three. Praise God for a flexible job.
Yeah.
Right? Because it took me 3 hours to get out of bed. But I bodied the rest of that day. I only was able to body it because I didn't force myself to get out of bed because I said I've been laying here too long.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to choose wellness in each moment that you have. Not just by going to the therapy. Wellness is not a one-time act.
Yes.
It is a consistent commitment to say my mental and emotional well-being is the key to life. And I've made that decision, and I am thankful for that. And it is what helps me make it to the next therapist appointment.
All right, y'all. I am not going to say anything other than thank you for joining us. I am probably going to have to swoop in and have her come back for another visit because she was so awesome. But thank you all for listening. I hope to see you all in the next episode. Have a wonderful day.
Bye, friends.